In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Maybe in a different circumstance, I would be excited about having a baby, yeah.
We have interviewed over 300 women between 6 and 10 weeks pregnant to be on this show. We've narrowed it down to 3.
It's a really big decision, and so to have so many, I guess, so much input into it, I think is a really interesting idea.
They have agreed to let us follow them throughout the next 4 weeks of their pregnancies until they come to that point of decision.
I'm sorry if I'm offending you. I mean, you can cut this part, right, if you need to.
Well, that's a little bit of the trailer for Bump. It's an online pseudo-reality show, a game show, if you will. The audience gets to decide whether or not 3 women depicted by actresses will have an abortion. Now you say, it's just play acting, it's just drama. Well, of course it is. Maybe it's just another attempt to shock people online. There's no shortage of those. Joining us to talk about Bump, Catherine Jean Lopez, editor of National Review Online and associate editor of National Review, joining us from Washington, D.C. Catherine, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Should we take this seriously, or is it just another online attempt to shock people?
I think there is definitely a level of some seemingly or wanting to be clever, you know, independent movie types trying to make a name for themselves. And so what's a bizarre concept we can come up with? I do sense a little bit of that in it. I'm struck by the fact, I mean, obviously it's demented and it doesn't even, to be honest with you, it doesn't even quite make sense to me. So it's a reality TV show that's not really reality. It's actors, which makes it just a plain old soap opera, you know, with some audience interaction, it seems. But what's so striking to me and sort of gives me a little piece about the whole thing is, so you have to have heard about this. Now, there have been some op-ed commentaries, and go seek it out on the internet versus the Focus on the Family Tim Tebow ad we've all been hearing so much about that's going to air this weekend during the Super Bowl, which is going to have a bigger reach and certainly has even had more conversation surrounding it. I think to whatever degree this Bump movie is indicative of some real movement, which obviously there is a real movement that exists, et cetera, I think what it speaks to is sort of the desperation that we're seeing where a spokesman from the National Organization of Women is calling this nice, harmless ad from team this football player's mother who says she's glad she had her son. A now spokesman referred to that as hate masquerading as love. You saw over the weekend in the Washington Post there was an op-ed from Kate Michaelman, who used to run the National Abortion Rights Action League, and Frances Kissling, who ran a group that was called Catholics for a Free Choice, conceding ground to pro-lifers, saying that oh, we have to, first of all, condemning their own for some of the things that they've been saying in recent days, going crazy about this simple ad. But also conceding that, you know, some of those pro-lifers aren't that crazy and make some good points. And I think that's a major concession. And so I think, again, to whatever extent this bump movie is part of that movement and isn't just an independent filmmaker trying to make a name for himself, I think it speaks to the fact that these ideas are kind of fringy. This is not the mainstream of America, because I think the mainstream of America recoils at such things.
You know, what I find tragic about it is that all of this is done, all this is couched, whether it's Bump or any other things that may be a kind of a pro-choice, soft-serve version, something like that. It's all couched as the woman's decision, the woman's right to choose here.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, whether it's fake abortions online, you know, tell this young girl who's really an actress whether she should have an abortion or not, or the real deal,
mm-hmm.
it's very seldom the woman's choice. She often feels like she's been backed into it. She often feels like she's being forced by others or by her circumstances to carry out this act. Talk about that, if you would.
And what is disturbing is I know in one interview, one of the filmmakers tied this movie in saying it was inspired by Barack Obama speaking at Notre Dame. And to the extent that might be true, and that it may be a genuinely inspired by that, I mean, I'll buy that, because his speech was about creating more of a moral muddle. And I think it did that. And I think what you're saying is absolutely right. It's in their best interest, the quote pro-choice side, to talk in terms of euphemisms, to not actually get into the details, to not talk about. I actually was struck by, I read some of the comments on the Bump website, and there are people pointing out that we're not talking about the after effects. What about these women who regret their abortions? What about the effects on the family? The pro-choice movement has spent a long time making sure that conversation doesn't happen, saying that we don't care about women after the baby's born, as sort of a rote response to any debate about abortion. But what you're seeing now, because there are so many outlets, and, you know, Bump is one thing on the internet, but there are other a lot of wonderful resources, websites like Abortion Changes You, things like Project Rachel, groups that really want to both help women and men who have been involved in the taking of a life in this way, and also try to influence people not to make that choice, because, as you say, they felt they had no other choice.
So one thing is real in all of this. I mean, it may be actresses, it may be contrived situations and make-believe circumstances, but the audience's feedback to Bump is real.
Yeah.
They're asking for the audience, essentially, to vote on these fictional circumstances, whether or not a girl should have an abortion. And I do wonder how much of that do you think we should gauge as what the national sentiment on this? If the votes come in saying have the abortion, you're going to hear the pro-choice movement say, hey, look, the online community, the young hipsters, they think abortion's fine.
I'm sure somebody will try to spin it that way, but I don't know how this. First of all, it's bad TV. You know, sometimes I criticize people on our own side for sort of making activist TV that isn't really watchable. I don't think there are seriously that many people who will sit through an entire online season of this badly acted show. I should point out to your listeners that excerpt at the beginning when the girl was talking about I hope I don't offend you. She was actually talking about Starburst candies. She wasn't talking about her position on life. It's sort of it looks to be a badly put together kind of conversation, in as much as it's supposed to be a conversation. So I think it would be ridiculous to try to spin it that way. But I guarantee you, you're right, that somebody will try to.
With only about 30 seconds, you said a few minutes ago that President Obama's view on this, whether expressed at Notre Dame or elsewhere, has been, at least in effect, to create more of a moral muddle. What do you mean by that? About 30 seconds.
Well, again, it's about nuance. It's about that op-ed this weekend in the Washington Post talked about how it takes courage on both sides I think you're right to point out that, you know, that oftentimes women don't actually have a choice and they are forced one way or another. And it's in the abortion industry's best interest to keep people confused and not highlighting what actually these choices are and the human rights aspect of it. So when you had a Catholic university hosting him and honoring him, it did continue to create a little keep that fog up in the moral debate conversation.
Catherine Jean Lopez is editor of National Review Online and associate editor of National Review. She joined us from Washington, D.C. We will post links to Catherine Jean Lopez's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd. Take care.
Yeah, it's a fog. As long as the fog machine remains on, then it's easy to talk about these things in the abstract or even to deal with them in pseudo-reality terms. But the fact is, any young woman who faces a pregnancy and is seriously considering, against her will or whether it is her will, an abortion, that's real. And what they don't need is more fog. They need the fog to lift and to have some clear-eyed consideration of what it is they are considering, what it is they are thinking about doing, what it is their boyfriend or their husband might be trying to talk them into doing, what it is their mom or dad might be trying to talk them into doing, or maybe even their doctor, certainly the abortion industry. If this is about women's good, if this is about a woman's right to choose, about a woman's rights, then let's focus on that woman who is faced with that pregnancy and stop trying to talk her into something, into a choice, when she already feels like she has none whatsoever. You know, there is a choice to be made. It is for life. And while that may be the most difficult choice to make and the one that has the most long-term consequences, the baby does get to live. When we come back, Dr. Arthur Just will join us. We'll talk about the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus. That's today, February the 2nd. And then Greg Kokel will talk to us about Exodus 21:22 and abortion in the Old Testament. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.